topic and talk radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
And good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM Campus Community Radio, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Kukwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh peoples. And it just so happens that it's also National Indigenous Peoples Day today across the nation. And not something that we're talking about, but definitely something to think about, because the theme is, and I'm not going to get this exactly right, but like embracing Indigenous joy, or something like that. So, I'm Robin, and I'm here with Nat.
Hello.
Before we turned the microphones on, we were both commenting to each other that our brains quite aren't in full gear this morning. So
it is a sleepy and misty morning on Burnaby Mountain for sure. It's not the kind of weather that makes you want to wake up.
No, it's not. It's not sharp weather for sure. There's, you know, having lived in Manitoba for a really, really long time, and we get fog there too, different kind of fog than it is here. But there's a song that somebody wrote 100 years ago called Misty Manitoba Morning. And when I walked out my front door, and the rain wasn't rain, but it wasn't fog, it was this real like mist, that song immediately came to my mind this morning. So it's been just sitting there.
It's quite flat, Manitoba, right? So I mean, it must get very, very kind of thick fog, I imagine.
Sometimes it's so thick you can't see your way through it.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I've been on the highway at some times, and your headlights just bounce back to you in the fog, and you can't see anything, and you can't drive anywhere, and it's not a safe situation.
Fortunately, it's not that bad here yet.
Yeah.
We'll see how the day develops.
Right. Well, it's supposed to clear up and be maybe a little bit sunny,
possibly
cloudy this afternoon. So I'm holding out hope. We've got a couple of things to chat about today, but I think we're going to play also a bunch of music and see where things roll along. As is usual fashion, I brought a couple songs. Nat, you brought a couple songs. Do you wanna kick us off?
Yeah, sure. So I think as part of my continuing quest to play Canadian trans musicians, which is it's really getting quite difficult now. There's not a huge amount. I'm really running out. I think we can start with Transference by Lena Rain.
All right, here we go.
Thank you.
Well, that was certainly an easy, breezy way to start the morning. A song called Transference by an artist, Lena Rain, who also goes by Curain and releases electronic music under that name, but is an award-winning composer for like gaming and video stuff.
I have not actually, to be honest, I have not actually played any of the games that she's composed music for, but I'm aware of her kind of ambiently, and I have listened to some of the soundtracks even for these games that I've, to be honest, have never played.
That just is so cool to me. Partly because I always think of gaming as sort of a dude heavy, and the creation of games and, you know, that technological stuff is such a dude heavy thing.
It's definitely shifting, but I think it is still probably a pretty male dominated industry. I think the sort of gender composition of people who play games has changed, maybe a lot more than the gender makeup of like game development.
The creator, yeah.
I can't say that with total authority. So,
yeah, I hear you. anyways, way to go for Lena Rain, just getting in there and creating some cool music, but also a winning awards for it. So thanks for bringing that to our attention. You're listening to Intravenous here on CJSF, and it is not Pride here in Vancouver, but it is generally across the country, Pride Month in June. And one of the things that I became aware of just this week on another social media platform was this list of, what do they call it? Notable Two-Spirit LGBTQ plus awareness dates. And so it gives a listing throughout the calendar of all of these dates that are celebrated and acknowledged, and most importantly, point towards all of the unique Two-Spirit LGBTQ plus identities that make up the diverse community that you know, sort of falls under that umbrella of what queer is.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a kind of expanding calendar, and it's a good thing in a way to sort of have it sort of be around the year rather than just kind of concentrated in Pride Month, or I guess June, as it is in North America generally.
I guess one of the things that sort of astounded me in some ways was that there's so many, because there's so many distinct sort of identities that not being part of that community and not identifying, you know, under one of these terms or what have you, I just had no idea. And so, you know, I felt like my eyes just popped open. It was like this wow moment.
Yeah. I have to say, despite being a queer person, this is just my personality, I've never really been one for special days. My secret shame is that at the age of 24, I've been to one Pride event, and that was last year. I am not a particularly ceremonial person, I suppose.
I've never been to Pride either, but partly that's just because the crowd, it feels way overwhelming to my sensibilities. I'm just not...
It was quite overwhelming. I mean, I went with some friends and we had kind of a tent off to the side and we weren't on the main route, but it was still extremely busy.
Yeah. I mean, I've been sort of adjunct to some of the Pride events just because I'm not thinking in that mode, right? And it's like, oh, let's go to the beach. let's go to a different beach.
Yeah.
So, just as a, you know, I won't go through all of the dates, and I'll post the list. So, you know, with the audio for this program, you can go and have a look for yourself at, you know, all of the days that are designated. But, you know, some that we definitely hear more about are, you know, International Transgender Day of Visibility. It's on March 31st of every year, and that is kind of, you know, on the opposite side of the calendar. We've got Transgender Awareness Week, which is the second week of November, followed closely behind by Transgender Day of Remembrance, which has become quite a quite a well-known.
Yeah, I have to say, when I think about this calendar, I feel like that's the one that sort of most comes to my mind, and like I am generally aware when that happens, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder where a lot of these days come from. I wonder if they're sort of sponsored by maybe individual groups or something like that. I don't know, because there seems to be some level of overlap between Visibility and Awareness Week, and I have to be honest, I've never heard of Trans Awareness Week.
Yeah. Likewise, at the beginning of November, the first Sunday of November, is Transparent Day.
Wow.
And so, yeah. That's what I mean. Like, there was a lot of wows in the list that I thought were really, really interesting and fill up the calendar. Some of the other wows that I had just looking at the list were about the specificity of some of the days. There's a Aromantic Spectrum Awareness Week, the week of February 19th to 25th. That was how it fell in 2023 anyway, so it must sort of run a, you know, Monday to Sunday or Sunday to Saturday kind of a thing. So, you know, to be aromantic is that you don't necessarily feel a romantic attraction to anybody, regardless of their sex or gender.
I think asexuality is a concept more people are familiar with, but it's sort of the same concept for romantic feelings, which are, you know, not necessarily that it's kind of separate from sexuality, because there are plenty of people who are asexual, but, you know, still have and are in romantic relationships. That's just not, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the fact that it follows on the heels of Valentine's Day, I kind of love that.
Yeah. An alternative celebration for those who do not partake.
Yeah. Yeah. So even if, you know, even if you are a bit of a romantic type, you can still maybe celebrate within and on the spectrum of whatever that happens to mean, because I think there's a lot of fluidity in some of these terms, you know, and how we can interpret what it is that they mean, not only for ourselves, but, you know, for the folks in our lives.
I definitely think vagueness in these terms is probably intentional and for the best, because, you know, when it comes to certain things, you know, it's a very subjective personal experience of what is romantic or sexual attraction or, you know, any of these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a broad judge.
Well, and, you know, they've come up with, you know, 47 different terms that actually describe sexual attraction, sexual behavior, and sexual orientation, which just sort of goes to show that the spectrum itself is vast and nuanced.
I think there's definitely different tastes about to what extent you want to apply names or labels. I have to say, speaking for myself, I'm something of a label minimalist. I'm someone who very consciously says queer instead of LGBT because I think it's I think there's a nice simplicity in that one word that kind of it doesn't need to be an acronym in my mind. It's sort of it's vague and I think that's for the best for me personally. But
right.
I guess that's my personal tastes.
Yeah, I can feel that, you know. Because I think that's how I would term myself also. It feels like there's a lot more, I don't know, leniency or sort of breath to figure out things along the way. Because, like, even as a straight person, you know, feelings change. Practices change, you know, what I think of romance changes, you know. It's not a static way of being in any way, shape, or form, as far as I've learned over my lifetime. And I'm sure over, you know, what will continue to be my lifetime, it will also shift and change some more. So,
for sure. I mean, yeah, it's definitely people have different tastes. I mean, I think there are people who get utility out of kind of being able to pick sort of definite points on a spectrum and have kind of a label and maybe a day. Yeah.
Well, there's a bit of a reassurance, right, about,
for
like,
sure.
This.
It can also be quite liberating to be able to put kind of a specific name. It's certainly easier to explain to people.
Yeah. Yeah. And to have a container for whatever that thing looks like. So, yeah, it works on both sides. I think it's time to have another song, and I'm going to play a song that came across my desk this week, and it is Sorry, I'm just trying to see because I picked it because when the press release came, I was like, oh, that's a perfect intravenous song. it's by an artist, Corey Gulkin, and it's called Rhea. And I do believe that the sort of, you know, zeitgeist of the song is has to do with identity and, you know, sort of being able to see yourself clearly in the mirror, so to speak, and especially how difficult or not it can be, depending on the mirror that you're looking into and how that community sort of shines back on you. So we'll have a listen to Corey Gulkin with Rhea off her upcoming album, Half Moon, here on Intravenous.
Could have sworn I'd met you before. Feels like a dead shepherd.